My progress was apparently swift and consistent enough that Ayaka became confident in my abilities, and rather than having me practice in the isolation room or my own laboratory, I was allowed the freedom of the grounds, such as they were. A circle of grass 2 kilometers around was at least a good place to run around in. My exercise in the tower of climbing up and down the seemingly endless stairs had kept me in decent shape, but with thighs like tree trunks and arms like string. My hopes of finding something to throw were dashed, however. Within the delineation of the 5 hills, there didn't seem to be anything larger than a pebble, at least to the first glance. I remembered my overdramatic lesson in gravity, and found that the iron balls were still sunk in the ground about 90 degrees around the tower from the door. Looking at them, I decided that even if I could dig them out, the smaller was about 100 kilograms, much too heavy to throw around. Being out in the warm sun, unsupervised for the first time in years, was exhilarating and strangely disorientating. I felt exposed at first, with no walls, no barriers to freely running in any direction I pleased. I ran. I don't know for how long, but I just kept going around and outward until I was on one of the hills, looking down the far slope at the shadowed earth under the thick canopy of a forest that stretched to the horizon. I contemplated going into that wood to see what I might discover in a place where wizard lords didn't hold sway. I knew my way around a forest. I could find paths, and my way back when exploring. It was the unfamiliar shape of the trees that turned me back. The leaves and bark, which were different from those where I'd lived as a boy, brought home how far I was from town. I was in what I'd have once considered exotic parts, and anything could happen in exotic parts. There were probably fairies or dragons or something. Never mind that I knew from my study that fairies didn't exist, and dragons lived high up, or else in their own land far away. The shade of the trees made an impenetrable gloom not far in, and Zetik Nal's dominion ended at that boundary. One thing I had never done was left Wizard Lord territory, and the pounding in my chest told me I wouldn't be doing it today. Of course, I wasn't out there for the exercise or exploration. I was outside because it was a reward for demonstrating that I was not going to immolate anything. Well, nothing I didn't mean to. Fire spells sound dangerous, but they're safer than most as long as you don't get carried away. I amused myself by heating the air around me, fighting the wind that kept trying to take away my oasis. I couldn't figure out what block would make a spell last, and I wasn't going to try to experiment with live testing blocks until one worked, when I didn't have any precautions ready. So I couldn't keep the air warm while doing anything else. When simply warming air stopped being interesting, I tried cooling down sections of ground to see if they would frost if I did it quickly. I've mentioned Dragon's Breath before. I'd brought a canister of it with me when I went out, since the best fire spells required it. There are legends of spells which require rare ingredients and burning powders. Most of the legends are probably due to the expensive tools required for enchantasy, but Dragon's Breath was the closest thing to a chemical reagent that wizards regularly used. As you well know, Idalia, flame without fuel isn't chemically possible. A lot of people see us throw great big gouts of fire and think we're burning the air. Oxygen is, of course, a required ingredient, but most magicians will either just heat the air up until it feels like fire and throw an illusory flame to give the appearance, or use something like Dragon's Breath. The name you Magi use for it is boring and unevocative, so I'll continue to call it Dragon's Breath. Our name was not only descriptive of what it did, burn, but also its origin. It was first discovered occurring naturally in dragons. Their digestive tracts included a process which converts some of the sugars they consume into a flammable gas, which is then absorbed and eventually stored in pressurized sacs near their mouths, so that when they use their natural heat emission trait, it ignites the gas which, being at a high pressure, can jet up to 50 meters when the sacs are opened. We traded for a sample of their digestive fluids, and over time we were able to cultivate the stock for all wizards' use. We were still studying the process when I was in Zedek's tower, with mixed results. We were getting more yields, but we couldn't understand what was happening to cause it. With dragon's breath, it was possible to make laboratory equipment that could regulate the heat within vessels without needing a constantly renewing heat transfer spell. As we learned how to control and improve production, limited supplies were being sold to sorcerers, and even non-magicians, who used it for cooking and entertainment. What was most fun, of course, was making shapes with it. Calling up ribbons of fire and swirling them around my head and far above, looping them and trying to draw figures and scenes before the trailing end took my lines away. I continually lengthened the spell until the sky was filled with a single line which made an ever-growing image. I'd say what I drew, Idalia, but the problem is that I have no artistic talent. So, after failing to make stickmen, I just made lots of curves, loops, and sweeps. Feeling daring, I tried to do with the fire spell what I'd done with the lantern, and with some effort, I was directing a pair of fiery streams across the sky, using my arms as guides to help differentiate them in my mind. Then the meadow caught fire. I'd lowered one arm too far, and an arcing ribbon of flame had hit the grass, dry after a month of summer with no rain. In my defense, if I'd known how to move air, it would have been a lot easier to put out. Of course, if I'd kept a level head, I would have also realized that I could as easily remove as much heat as I could from the area on fire, and put it out like that. Instead, I ended the fire ribbon spells, and tried to put the meadow out the way I'd been raised to, with my feet. It worked, and the wizard robes Zedek made for me were impervious to fire or soot, so the only thing left covered in ash, smelling like burning weeds and slightly smoking, was me. A bath sorted that out. Well, how was I supposed to know I'd left an ember burning? It was still daylight when I stopped, and I missed it in all the confusion. Magical sight sounds very useful, but it doesn't spot a few sparks in a bed of recently burning grass.